This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And away we go on a Thursday on VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Belusis in for Super Dave Ross. I am told that Dave is making his way back to Tennessee after a few days back home in Virginia Beach, at least Bristol, Tennessee is where we've seen the latest happenings there. Hope that Dave has enjoyed his time off. Mark, great to be with you. A absolutely packed show today. All kinds of recap of what we've seen now in day two of the NBA play-in tournament. We have our matchups for tomorrow night to punch the final two tickets into the actual playoff rounds. Another big signing in baseball, and obviously a little bit more of an abbreviated slate here on the diamond. We'll definitely have a great guest list as well. Greg Peterson, host of the VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast and the Baseball Betting Show upcoming here in about 30 minutes. The maestro, Mike Palm, as is always on a Thursday, we'll get his palms pressing three. And Chris Meany, the final day of the NHL regular season, actionable spots there, and a look ahead to the NHL postseason. But if you're just waking up and starting your day with us, we appreciate you. Let's jump right in to our highlights and headlines.
Your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
What a game! Maybe not as much. It wasn't the same as Heat and Hornets needing overtime, but the Philadelphia 76ers, oh boy, a resounding victory over the Orlando Magic. They punched their ticket to Boston, winning 109-97. Never in doubt, covering the number here. Anywhere from 1 to 2 points on the spread as a favorite, Mark. It was a side that we looked at in earnest yesterday. Felt good about their chances at home, even without Joel Embiid. So a nice win here, and Philadelphia will officially be the seventh seed. They will play Boston on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, when they when Orlando goes out there and shoots 26% from behind the arc, that's going to go out there and be an issue. I think you had four or five guys in double figures for the Philadelphia 76ers last night, led by Maxey, who dropped in 31 points. He was great. Edgecombe dropped in 19. Paul George, playoff Paul, is back. He dropped in 16 points as well. So even without Embiid, when you look at Orlando, some people called into question in terms of, you know, how this team was put together. Last night, even though there was a slight spread between the two, Philadelphia didn't make you sweat if you were back in the 76ers in that one, winning it stylishly by 12.
Yeah, four of the five starters in double figures for the Sixers. Desmond Bain, a very nice night in a losing effort, 34 points on 10 of 16 shooting, including 4 of 6 from distance. So the Magic, they will now have to try and fight to stay alive, as they will be hosting the Charlotte Hornets tomorrow night for a chance to jump back in and be able to take on the top seed Detroit Pistons. Staying alive is a theme, and we got another upset here in the Western Conference. Both the lower seeds in these two play-in tournament games so far, so good in the Western Conference. The Golden State Warriors, they rally late over the LA Clippers, an upset on the road in Los Angeles. And so Golden State now staying alive. They have the opportunity to find their way into the Western Conference playoffs. What a resounding comeback. And one that, if you stayed up late on the East Coast, it was kind of like, all right, the Clippers, you know, nice little first quarter there, pretty much a comfortable lead into halftime. But boy, oh boy, that fourth quarter, 43 points, including a total of 35 from Steph Curry for Golden State to pull the upset.
I mean, terrible loss for the Clippers. You're home, you're leading by 13 with 9:53 to go, and then you collapse. How about Kawhi Leonard just absolutely disappearing? And I understand Draymond Green was playing great defense, but still, I mean, to score, to get your first points with under a minute to go in the fourth quarter, and it was almost like that Cher song, Turn Back Time. Steph Curry, 27 points in the second half. They scored 43 in the fourth quarter. How about Al Horford? Old man Al with four threes on the night for for the Golden State Warriors. Porzingis, who looked like a zombie last year for the Boston Celtics, dropping in 20 points for Golden State last night. And if you're the Los Angeles Clippers, I mean, and I'm sorry, Jensen, you lost one of your futures last night with the Clippers, but I mean, that is a brutal loss. You start the year 6-21, you finish 42-40, you have a 13-point lead at home with under 10 to go, and you utterly and completely collapse. Curry was brilliant. The Warriors were great. They turned back time a little bit. Give them all the credit in the world. But the Los Angeles Clippers left that door open, and Golden State kicked the door down.
They certainly did. And now a real intriguing matchup here as the Warriors will take on the Phoenix Suns for the right. And I said it yesterday, I'll say it again, the dubious right to face the top-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder and the defending NBA champions. We'll preview those two games in earnest, not only today, but also dive a little bit deeper tomorrow, as those two will take place at 7:30 and 10 p.m. Eastern tip times. Another young player gets a life-changing extension in Major League Baseball. This time, it is the young phenom Kevin McGonigal of the Detroit Tigers. 8 years, $150 million. Maybe one of the great young players to come up here at the ripe old age of 21. A cornerstone for the future, one of the top prospects in baseball, heck, the number two overall prospect, according to MLB.com, right behind Connor Griffin, who also signed a life-changing deal, 9 years, $140 million. This is the trend that's going to start to continue here in my eyes, Mark. Only 20 days of service time for Kevin McGonigal, only 5 days of service time for Connor Griffin before he signed that big $140 million deal. And remember, this offseason, we had two players, Cooper Pratt, shortstop for the Brewers, and Colt Emerson, shortstop for the Mariners. Both don't have a single day of major league service time, but already signing multi-year, multi-million dollar deals. Listen, McGonigal has looked phenomenal here in the first couple weeks of the season, but a great get and a foundational piece here for the Motown boys for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, you just got to be right. I mean, it's a trend that started with Acuna and the Atlanta Braves a number of years ago, right? And now all of a sudden you're starting to see it kind of take flight. And, you know, with smaller market teams across Major League Baseball where you're rewarding a younger player earlier on, but you're buying into those free agency years to where potentially, you know, they're not able to max out. So everybody wins, but for the organization, you better be right when you sign these guys, these kind of contracts, because you don't want, if it ends up being a bad deal, you don't want that kind of number on the books. But I agree with you. I think you're going to see more and more of this and trying to reward younger players a little bit earlier on and making sure that you have them in your organization for a sustained period of time.
Tigers winners of five in a row, another 2-1 comeback victory late last night. McGonigal right in the middle of it again. Tigers now move to 7-1. At Comerica Park. So we'll keep an eye on them as they are just a game and a half back of the top team in the Central, the Minnesota Twins. Final day of the regular season. Great to catch up with Chris Meaney later in the program. We'll get his thoughts on is there an actionable spot or two here as a handful of teams playing out the string and others probably resting some key players to get ready for next week's beginning to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I can tell you, I'm so excited for the regular season to end because I can't get a winning night to save my life except for the last couple when the games don't matter. Maybe when the games do matter, the wins will start coming here. But six-game slate, kind of weird, Mark. I know our esteemed producer Joe Freeze and I were talking about it yesterday. A weird scheduling quirk here for the NHL. Some teams have been done for upwards of 24, 48 hours. We're going to get six games to finish it off today. But I know you and I are very excited for the Stanley Cup playoffs beginning in earnest next week.
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, it really is when you look at it. Talking about like the NHL regular season petering out, Jensen. I mean, we, you know, first and foremost, you haven't had a playoff spot on the line in like 48, 72 hours, right? I mean, it was basically about seeding and who's playing who in the opening round. So you take all of that out of the mix, right? And now, I mean, it dies out like with a whimper. Like, most people across the country think the NHL season ended about 3 days ago. And here we go. We got another six games on the slate tonight in the NHL regular season. Get me to the playoffs. This is not exactly the way you want to draw it up if you're Gary Bettman. Maybe it's something I have to take a look at toward the case of the offseason during the summer months. But, yeah, This is not much on the line. I'm not telling you that there's not bettable action tonight going into the six-game slate, but still, this is not the way you want your regular season come to an end.
All right, so there are some implications here, particularly looking at the Anaheim and the Nashville contest. The Ducks are currently third in the Pacific Division, but they can move up to second with a win of any kind or a regulation loss by the Edmonton Oilers. So again, there are going to be a couple of games, and again, we'll talk to Chris Meany coming up later in the show about implications and potential betting angles on the final day of the NHL regular season. We are minutes away from getting the RBC Heritage underway in South Carolina. If you have a Masters hangover, we have a little bit of an elixir for you. A few bets that I put in this morning, a couple of outrights, and not only just the regular outright market here, Mark, but I also played these four players in the winner without Scottie Scheffler market. You had hit on it yesterday, and we talked about our bet the build lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. We think Scottie's going to be incredibly motivated in the way he finished the Masters. I do want a little bit of exposure to that market. So here are the players I played in the outright market. I played Siwoo Kim in the winner without Scottie Scheffler at 24-1, Sepp Straka at 36-1, Akshay Batia at 48-1, and Saad Theegala at 63-1. I'll update on best bets, some other placement markets, but you hit it yesterday, bears repeating. The Scottie we saw over the weekend at Augusta, it looks like the man is back in great form.
Yeah, iron play was great. I mean, it really was. And that's the thing you have to take note of. If he's right, everybody might be playing for second place. But I've got something on Fitzpatrick and Russell Henley, which we talked about yesterday in terms of outright winners, 16-8 and 18-1 respectively. So looking forward to the Heritage getting going later on this morning.
Definitely. So much to get to. Let's start in the NBA. Two games last night, two winners, how they got there and what it means over the weekend. That recap when you come back on VSiN by the Books.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Hey, if you want to bet smarter and want to start with smarter insights right now, you can check out Zach Cohen's Friday NBA play-in game previews and first round NBA series previews alongside Greg Peterson's MLB best bets. We'll talk to Greg upcoming in the next segment. Later today, Jonathan Davis, NHL playoff first round analysis, Steve Mackinnon's NBA first round trends, and yes, Daily Racing Forum's updated Kentucky Derby watch list. We might get Mark Melusis, the veteran of picking Derby winners, and get his thoughts upcoming tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. But a reminder, get VSiN Pro as little as $9.99 for your first 30 days. You can save 50% off the annual subscription price. We highly encourage that. For all the subscription options, go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis and the Moose, Mark Lewis is with you here on a Thursday. Two more of the NBA play-in games in the bag after yesterday. It was the Sixers in the 7-8 matchup against the Magic, winning 109-97, and the Warriors, a 10 seed, upsetting the LA Clippers. They come back and win 126-121, the total flying over the number there in game two yesterday, but staying under in game one. Here are the implications now for the results yesterday. Sixers, they are officially the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference. They move on to play the number 2 Boston Celtics. That first game will take place on Sunday afternoon. The Magic now will go back home and they will host the Charlotte Hornets tomorrow night. Winner of that game becomes the 8th seed in the East and will take on the top-seeded Detroit Pistons. Let's start there. What you took away from last night, Mark, we know Joel Embiid's still out indefinitely, but boy, Tyrese Maxey looked all the part. Another 30-plus point effort there. And, hey, the NBA is going to be very happy ratings-wise. They get two of the old guard head-to-head in round one between Boston and Philly.
Yeah, no doubt. And the potential of, who knows, excuse me, when you get Embiid back for the Philadelphia 76ers, right, after that appendicitis. But, I thought it was an intriguing game. You know, I didn't think it had, you know, a similar excitement as we've seen in some of the other games so far in this play-in tournament. But when you look at the Orlando Magic, despite what Desmond Bane was able to do, Paolo Banchero really struggled from shooting from the field. You know, they only shot 26% from behind the arc. You look at the Philadelphia 76ers, great performance by Tyrese Maxey, who's an absolute stud. VJ Edgecombe, the rookie out of Baylor, had himself a pretty good game as well last night for the Philadelphia 76ers, and they were just better in a lot of different ways. And so now you get in that opening round, you get Philadelphia, you get Boston, you're right. And now the question is, if and when you get Joel Embiid back, what does that series look like? I know he's still out indefinitely. Is there a potential for him to go out there and return? Because if Philadelphia is able to get whole and Embiid does come back at some point in time, you know, they get that much more dangerous. But interesting game, good game. But Philadelphia was by far the better team when you watched it.
As we look at the series prices upcoming here, and no shock that the Boston Celtics are going to be a decided favorite. As we look at it at the moment, you got to lay $9 for the Celtics to win the series, 6-1 for Philadelphia to pull the upset. Not a shock there, but I think we'll get some intrigue now tomorrow night when we have Orlando and Charlotte. If you are a VSiN Pro subscriber and got Bill AD's email this morning, some great insight from Zachary Cohen about not only this matchup, but you and I discussed it a little bit yesterday that Charlotte, should they find their way through, presents quite a challenge for the Detroit Pistons. And I know we were asking John Devontobel, is there a series you could see an upset? We were looking at Minnesota and Denver as kind of a conference final preview or feel in the Western Conference. But boy, Mark, Charlotte, they find their way through. They, at least since the turn of the new year, they have looked like one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, no question, Jensen. And who do you think Detroit would rather see? They would rather see the Orlando Magic than the Charlotte Hornets. They don't want to deal with the pesky Hornets who, you know, they, you know, young, inexperienced, no doubt, shooting the three. You know, Con Knipple could be rookie of the year. We've seen the brilliance of Brandon Miller, obviously LaMelo Ball. You saw the other guys step up, you know, the other night in their overtime victory against the Miami Heat. So it is it's a fun team to watch when you're looking at the Charlotte Hornets. And it's not just that. Since January 1st, they played like an upper echelon team in the NBA, not just in the Eastern Conference, in the entire league. So that's the team Detroit does not want to see. But, you know, they're going to go into that game Friday night, even on the road, and they're a 3.5-point favorite for a reason. And I'd be surprised after, you know, their learning experience against the Miami Heat and after what we saw against Orlando last night down in Philadelphia, if the Hornets are not the 8th seed and are not taking on Detroit in that opening round of the NBA playoffs. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not telling you the NBA offices are rooting for one team or another. I think for just the overall entertainment value, I think you'd rather see Charlotte against Detroit than obviously Orlando against Detroit.
Numbers already on the move. A 3.5-point open as a favorite for Charlotte. Already seeing fours appearing here. FanDuel, BetRivers, Fanatics. Those are already up to four. Looking at about 83% of the money, 85% of bets right now on the Charlotte Hornets -4. Total actually has come down a little bit from the open at 219, down to about 218.5, 217.5 in some faraway lands, but all kinds of implications tomorrow, 7:40 p.m. Eastern tip time to decide the number 8 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs for the NBA. Listen, out west, you said it early and we'll repeat it again. As bad a loss for where we saw not only the LA Clippers, but also looking at where the Golden State Warriors deserve all kinds of credit for kind of holding themselves together, some halftime adjustments there by Golden State, and they end up getting the 5-point win. So Warriors now move on. They will be on the road in the Valley of the Sun. They'll take on the Phoenix Suns. Suns installed here at about a 2-point favorite, seeing a couple of 2.5s that have now appeared pretty much across the board. There is a 1.5 that's actually out there at DraftKings. So depending on the side that you like, shop around for the best price. But again, Suns, more or less a 2.5-point favorite at the moment. Total is actually shot up a little bit from 218 to 18.5. Still seeing some 217.5s at FanDuel and Bet Rivers. But Golden State deserving as much credit as anyone for being to come back out at halftime. And obviously when you've got Steph Curry and shooting the way that he did, you're going to have a chance to win any night of the NBA season. For the Clippers on the flip side, you know, it looks like, again, another one of those refrains where they could not close out, and at home, maybe more of an embarrassment too, to not be able to get some of your star players to be able to come up clutch in those big moments. Kawhi Leonard did have 21 points in 40 minutes, but only 1 of 6 from distance. Darius Garland, 21 points in 31 minutes on 8 of 15 shooting. He was 2 of 4 from distance. Benedict Mathurin actually had a fantastic night. 23 points off the bench in 30 minutes, 7 of 11 from the field, including 5 of 6 from three-point land. But it was not enough, as Steph Curry, 35 points, 12 of 23 shooting, 7 three-pointers last night. Only got to the line 5 times, but made 4 of his 5 free throws. And a big night also from Kristaps Porzingis down low, 8 of 12 shooting for 20 points. Draymond Green, again, deserves a lot of credit for his defensive uptick in that second half. He also contributed 9 assists. So again, Golden State, the outright winner. They were getting upwards of 5.5 points last night, but they win by 5, 126-121. Total never in doubt, as it soars over 221, 222, depending on where you got that number. So everything's set up now for tomorrow night. It's going to be the Charlotte Hornets and the Orlando Magic for the right to face the Detroit Pistons. And now the Golden State Warriors, a chance to find their way into the playoffs. They will go on the road to the Phoenix Suns. The winner will take on the number one seed and defending NBA champion, the Oklahoma City Thunder. As you look at some of the updated series prices, we mentioned it, the Celtics, a $9 favorite against Philadelphia, the Sixers 6-1 to win that series overall. And we'll see what kind of happens moving forward. Also want to make mention of it, the Spurs, we knew this yesterday after the Trailblazers were able to win their game over Phoenix. Portland is 10-1 to win that series. Not saying that they could be live whatsoever, but that is a lot of respect in the marketplace for not only San Antonio, but a lot of people looking at designs on them being that team that can take out Oklahoma City. One other series that has moved, and it's moved significantly. When we started this week, the Houston Rockets were upwards of a $7.5 series favorite against the LA Lakers. That has come down to -575, and the Lakers upwards of a +550 series price. They're all the way down to 4-1. Now, we talked about Luka Doncic. We'll see if he is going to be able to find his way back, if at all, in this opening round series. But something to keep an eye on, as that series price now has changed drastically since the beginning of the week. A man who does not change whatsoever, as consistent as it gets, that is Hoops Peterson. Greg Peterson, host of the VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast and the Baseball Betting Show, joining us next when you come back on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
On the rolling here on a Thursday edition of VSiN by the Books, Jensen Lewis alongside the Boost, Mark Belusis. It is a credo in a Lewis Ross administration, Mark, that a day one executive orders are something we hold near and dear. We are not abusive in our power. We just give the people what they want. One of the great ambassadors to the Lewis Ross administration is none other than Greg Hoops Peterson, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, as he does every week here on the show. Give him a follow on the VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast and the Baseball Betting Show. Greg joins us right here at GUnit underscore 81 on social media. Greg, as you and I well know, day games would be an executive order day one of a Lewis Ross administration. That goes for every single day of the week. We get that in earnest today, and I know you always love 9:30 a.m. local time first pitches where you are. We get a couple of games to break down in that department. First one's Nationals Pirates. Great one yesterday. Low scoring affair. Couple opportunities for the Nats late. They could not get runs across. Do we find another low scoring game at PNC Park on getaway day?
I think so. I really do like both of the starting pitchers in this one. For what we've been seeing this far this season out of Foster Griffin, who he was last few seasons pitching overseas, he's been rock solid. He's been able to give a sub-3 ERA. He's maybe not like a strikeout artist or anything like that, but he's been solid for the Nationals. And for the Nationals, they actually entered into yesterday leading the league in terms of runs per game with 5.9 runs per game. Now, yeah, that bullpen's not necessarily amazing for the Nationals, but I think that Griffin is going to be able to help save the bullpen a little bit more in this game. And then you got Braxton Ashcraft, who, since he got called up for the Pirates last year, a sub-275 ERA, solid with his swing and misses, maybe not, again, a strikeout artist, but he's given up less than 0.7 home runs per 9 innings. He's done a nice job keeping things out in front of him. This is a ballpark in PNC that is a little bit more pitcher-friendly as well. When I was writing this up, the total was 9. We're seeing this go down to an 8.5 in a lot of spots. Even at an 8.5, do like the under. And with myself, in terms of this spread, in terms of this line, I'd be willing to take a shot on the Pirates on the money line right around minus 150, minus 155. Know that it's Shockley, but I would not want the spread / run line in this spot because I do think that this is going to be a lower scoring game. So took a chalkier money line with the Pirates and that total under.
Greg, how about the Reds and Giants with Corbin Burnes on the mound for Cincinnati early?
Yep, when it comes to Chase Burnes, I do think that he's going to be able to give a nice performance here for the Reds, and he has been absolutely amazing since getting called up to the big league level. How about 12.8 strikeouts per 9 innings? Like last year, he was posting up an ERA above a 4, but that fielding independent was more around about a 250. And then conversely, for the San Francisco Giants, you've got a team that just has not been able to put up runs thus far this season. Like right now, they're averaging about 3.1, 3.2 runs per game. That is dead sink of last in all of baseball. You saw Rafael Devers break his bat out of frustration yesterday. Things are not going well for this Giants team, to say the least. And I think Landon Roop is a solid pitcher. 380 ERA last season. He was giving up less than a home run per 9 innings. Does have command issues. And for the Giants, the bullpen just isn't what it was last season because they do trade away a few guys like Camilo Duval and company. I'm just really down on the Giants right now, especially with this being a little bit of a body clock game. They're playing out there in Cincinnati. And for the Reds, it feels like Sal Stewart, who's been providing a lot of power, and Eugenio Suarez, they're finding it a little bit more. So you're finding the Reds as a manageable, like minus 120, minus 125 favorite. Do like them on the money line. If I do have to play this total with it at an 8.5 out there in Great American Ballpark that is very much friendly to hitters, I do like the over.
We've got three teams with 12 losses, the Giants being one of them alongside the Rockies and the White Sox. Insert the team here that should not be there. And boy, oh boy, a tough start to the Tony Vitello era. By the way, Great American Ballpark, 12:40 p.m. Eastern first pitch. Winds blowing out to left, right down the line at about 10 miles an hour, 75 degrees there at first pitch. Would expect there could be some offense in that one, but it might only be from the red side. So I like where your head's at there. I have been beaten by the hook by a couple of totals here at Yankee Stadium the first couple of weeks. Last night, not fun. Thought we were going to get bonus baseball and a chance to hit the over 10. But when we don't talk in the infield on a fly ball, that's how things unwind. And the Yankees take advantage. They score a pair in the ninth to beat Jordan Romano and the Angels. Today is going to be a fascinating dynamic here, Greg, and I'm interested in your thoughts because the conditions, it is going to be sweltering at Yankee Stadium. 86 degrees, 10 miles an hour blown out to left center. Do we feel we get a little more of a pitcher's duel and maybe some run suppression, even though it looks like the conditions could be ripe for some offense?
I think so, because what we've seen out of Max Fried in the first half of seasons over the last few, he has been absolutely masterful. Last year, before the All-Star break, was playing a sub-2.25 ERA, has really kept things out in front of him as a member of the Yankees as well. Last year was giving up 0.8 home runs per nine innings, actually even less than 0.8 home runs per nine innings. This year, sub-2 ERA has not been beaten by the deep ball all season long, and for the LA Angels, put it politely, I think that you're going to get a poo-poo platter pitchers right here, because they have yet to announce a true starter right here. I'm thinking that they're going to be utilizing the young gun in Urania in this game, but that said, you can only rely upon him for a few innings. But that said, they did revamp the bullpen here in the offseason. They pick up the likes of Brendan Suter, who's been going through injury a little bit. They pick up Drew Pomerantz. That was a good pickup. So it's at the very least a little bit more of a respectable bullpen that we've seen in the past. And for the Yankees, they actually entered into the day on Wednesday 13th in the league in terms of run creation, mainly because the infield, these guys like Ryan McMahon, Jazz Chisholm, they haven't necessarily given you a lot. Heck, even Aaron Judge, he's been hitting for some power, but he hasn't necessarily been able to hit for a lot of averages far this season. With the Yankees, they're a little bit of an all or nothing lineup. They've been a little bit closer to nothing than they've been to all over the last like week and a half or so. So I do think that with this total at a 9.5, especially with Max Fried on the mound, you're going to get an under. If I absolutely had to play the side, I'd be looking at the Yankees run line, because I think that Max Fried is going to be that dominant. Laying a -125 on the run line at home could be a little bit of a roll of the dice here. So would rather just be sticking with that under of 9.5 runs.
Greg, how about Blue Jays and Brewers in Milwaukee today? Corbin on the mound for Toronto and Sproat on the mound for Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's hard to be able to trust in Patrick Corbin, man. He has had an ERA of a 5.10 or higher in four out of the last 5 years, the lone exception being last year. But you look at Patrick Corbin and what led to his success last year, it was all in Arlington. In Arlington, he was providing a sub-3.50 ERA. He was only giving up one home run per nine innings. That went right to a 5.38 ERA away from him. And Brandon Sproat has not been the Mona Lisa Vito of pitching this year. He has an ERA of a 10.45. He has been giving up over seven walks per nine innings. Not great. He showed upside with the Mets, though, last year. With the Mets in the four starts, a little bit over 20 innings, gave up zero home runs. While he had an ERA well above a four, his fielding independent was a 2.80. And the Brewers just have a way of being able to bring out the best out of pitchers. With the Brewers bullpen, it's been a little bit shaky. We've seen likes of Abner Uribe, Trevor McGill, not necessarily have a great start to the year. I have confidence that those guys are going to be able to bounce back. I don't have confidence in the likes of Brandon Little. Has been, well, his ERA is up in Little. It's right now above a 10, so there's nothing little about that. They've got a bullpen that, I mean, with Jeff Hoffman, he has not been himself really sans the playoffs last season as well. The Blue Jays have been a little bit hit or miss with regards to offense, but total of 8.5 at a Patrick Corbin start, even with the Brewers banged up. I'm willing to take a shot on the over, and I'm willing to take a shot on, as I'm going to put it, not Patrick Corbin. I'm in on the Brewers on the line, and I'm in on this total over.
The old fade Patrick Corbin, old teammate of mine way back in 2012 when we both were with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Gosh, kind of a lot's happened since then. He has made a boatload of more money than I have, but I love my job more than him today. Rangers in Athletics. It was a shootout yesterday. If you played the over, nice little win right there. Greg, you were with us early last year when Dave and I were talking automatic overs at Sutter Health Park. I think we go right back to the well today, also considering another afternoon affair there between the Rangers and the A's.
And when Patrick Corbin was your teammate, he wasn't quite as much a fade material that he is right now as well. But that said, we are back in on the over on this as well. Got a nice over yesterday. And you said it, out there in Sacramento, we've had one under thus far this season. And for the Athletics, it's a team with a home ERA that is above a 6 as a collective, but they're also averaging over 5.2 runs per game at home as well. And then for the Texas Rangers, you're seeing Jake Berger stepping up a little bit more. He's up to 5 home runs. Corey Seager is looking like the guy that we all know and love as well. This is a game that I do think should be relatively close to a pick-em with regards to the spread as well, or the money line as well. With the A's, anything of like a +105 or higher would be willing to take a shot on the money line, because while Jack Leiter is getting over 12.5 strikeouts per nine innings, command continues to be an issue. Last year, 4 walks per nine innings. This year, 3.7 walks per nine innings. Both teams have burnt up quite a bit of the bullpen here in this series as well. And for the Athletics, you do have a guy on the mound that and Jacob Lopez actually pitched better at home rather than away from him. I think he was the lone guy on the Athletics that did so. But I mean, he's another guy that can have command issues. When he gets hit relatively hard. So 9 is just too low of a total here. Like the over. And if you can find plus money on the A's, plus 105 or higher, looking at that money line.
Love it, brother. Enjoy the day slates, a day that you always love, and one that we will recap and preview in earnest here not only today, but tomorrow. He is Greg Hoops Peterson, host of the VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast and the Baseball Betting Show right here on VSiN by the Books. More notable action from yesterday on the diamond and a little preview of the day slate today when you come back on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Back on a Thursday edition of VSiN by the Books, Jensen Lewis, Mark Malus is with you. Our thanks to Greg Hoops Peterson hopping on in our previous segment, talking all things Major League Baseball. Abbreviated 10-game slate today. We will obviously get into it in earnest in the Daily Diamond upcoming. Let's talk a little bit about what we saw yesterday, some of the key things. And again, we go right back, Mark, to that Dodgers and Mets game. Most notable, yeah. Not only the Mets' 8th straight loss here, and it has just been, it feels like soul-crushing if you've had to endure staying up late on the East Coast to try and watch what has been nothing short of a disaster for Carlos Mendoza's crew. Add insult to injury that Shohei Ohtani didn't even have to hit last night, but continued an absolutely dominant stretch here, even continuing from last year over into this season. 6 innings, just 2 hits allowed, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts. And as I made mention, was not in his customary DH position last night. Still working back from a little bit of a shoulder issue. Dave Roberts wanted to kind of manage that early in the season. So no big deal, Shohei. Just worry about pitching tonight. Okay, that's it. We don't want you to overextend yourself. Really never a doubt here. 8-2, the final. It is one of those stretches now. Let's start with the Mets side. You and I hit upon it yesterday. You don't want to get too far behind too early. But with the Braves now increasing this divisional lead in the National League East, as we wake up today, the Mets are now 5 games back, 7-12. The Braves 12-7. It feels like there's no end in sight here for the Mets' woes, as they need a reset and they need it in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a case of, you know, exactly how does it look when if the Mets are going to go out there and dig themselves out of the hole that they put themselves in, right? I mean, the Dodgers are 14-4. The Mets are sitting there at 7-12. The Mets have lost 8 straight games. You mentioned in terms of they're sitting in last place in the National League East. And, you know, last night's game, you know, it was 3-2 going into the bottom half of the 8th inning. And then you get the, you know, Francisco Lindor staying back on a ball, throws over to first base, man safe. All of a sudden, Devin Williams is getting lit up like a Christmas tree. Dodgers score 5 runs. It ends up being an 8-2 game. I mean, so like whatever can go wrong will go wrong. Brilliant start the night before by Nolan McClain. You know, right? They lose the game 2-1. I mean, it just, and the Dodgers are the Dodgers, right? They're on a different level than everybody else, but Jensen, like I, even though I've talked about it and I think the seat is hot for Carlos Mendoza, when you look at this Met team is, well, how exactly without getting Soto back, how exactly is this lineup all of a sudden going to be consistent offensively? And it's hard to envision that. Then you say, okay, well, then you need the rotation to be dominant. They've gotten quality starts. They still find ways to lose games. There's been fielding errors. There's been base running gaffes. There's been all of these things when you look at this Met team. It just looks like a mess right now for Dave's New York Mets. I mean, unfortunately for him, you know, it does. And if you stayed up late and for the Los Angeles Dodgers, they're just a machine. I mean, they just are. It doesn't matter. They could deal with Shohei dealing with the shoulder. They could deal with Mookie Betts dealing with the oblique. They could deal with all of these things. It's just plug and play the next guy. The next guy stepped in. You and I both talked about Andy Páez yesterday. I mean, it's just ridiculous the amount of talent. And still, even with all the trades they met, they still have talent down on the farm system as well. So should they need to add at the MLB trade deadline and make moves. So the Dodgers operate differently than everybody else. But yes, the Mets right now, they've got their tail between their legs as they go back to, as they go to Chicago to take on the Cubs. And they, you want to talk about a team that's going to be pressing they are absolutely pressing Jensen. And you know that. Then all of a sudden, guys start to do things a little bit different, start to maybe try and help the team a little bit more. But in doing so, you're actually hurting the team.
Remarkable that the division price in the National League East, the Mets are still 2-1. I find that incredible here, just after this kind of a dismal start, 19 games into the season. Braves are plus $1.60 to win the National League East. So food for thought with that one right there. From one bad New York team to a Yankee squad that actually got a little benefit of the doubt last night. The ninth inning, they trailed 4-3. It was a pop fly from Jazz Chisholm in the middle of the infield where there was a miscommunication between Oswald Peraza and Zach Neto, the shortstop. That allows Chisholm to reach as the tying run. And then there was a real kind of blow up there for Jordan Romano as the Yankees would put together a come from behind win. They walk it off with a 5-4 win. And it was a beautiful slide from Austin Wells just in the nick of time to get ahead of the relay throw. That's your ball game. Yankees with a big come from behind win. Total stays under 10, although it ballooned yesterday during our show and throughout the rest of the day. Upwards of 11 is where it closed, but 9 runs total on that one. More importantly, Yankees get a big win. I got to tell you, in a losing effort, this has been an unbelievable series for Mike Trout. I know we highlighted him a lot early in the week. He hits his fourth home run, opposite field tank job that ended up putting the Angels up 4-3 at that point. And it is just a home away from home. Of course, the New Jersey native, you know, right down the turnpike there, and has enjoyed with friends and family in the stands having one of his best series of the year. But takeaways from you, Mark, I'm sure as Yankee fans out there watching, kind of a sense of relief, like, woof, this has been a little bit more of a resistive Angel squad than maybe anticipated.
Yeah, no doubt. And we talked about it, and they are. And it's good to see Trout back to being, you know, what we have seen after, you know, basically 4 or 5 lost seasons when you're looking at Mike Trout, Jensen. I mean, that's been an issue when you're looking at him. But where he's barely been able to stay healthy, not hasn't played 100-plus games. I mean, it's been ridiculous. But when he's right, he's still ridiculously good. So you look at the Yankees, sometimes you got to get a little lucky. Last night, they got lucky. I mean, let's be honest. And Jordan Romano, anytime anything goes wrong in an inning when he's on the mound, as you've seen in Toronto, as you saw last year in Philadelphia, as you saw last night for the Angels, I mean, he is going to absolutely implode. His ERA north of 8. His ERA for Philadelphia in 49 appearances last year was north of 8 as well. So he's not exactly been a quality reliever in quite some time, but give the Angels credit. They present a little bit of pushback. There's still issues for the Yankees, no doubt about it. And last night, they took advantage of a big-time mistake by the Angels.
Yankees now 10-8 on the season. They trailed just the Tampa Bay Rays by a loss, a half game, not only for the top spot of the American League East, but for the top spot overall early in the American League. It was an incredible comeback last night. If you stayed up late to watch the basketball game, had you flipped the channel to watch the Padres ninth inning, man, oh man, incredible work from the Padre offense. If not for what the Dodgers are doing to start this season, we'd be focused on a 12-6 Padre team that won their 7th in a row, and they had to do it with a flair for the dramatic. A 5-run ninth inning capped off by Jackson Merrill with an RBI double to seal the victory. Padres, again, not only winners of 7 in a row, but they moved to 8-4 at Petco Park, a plus 18 run differential. They have won 9 of their last 10. I got to be honest, this is a team I was very suspect on at the beginning of the year in our MLB betting guide for VSiN.com. Mark, credit where it's due. First year manager Craig Stammen has the Padres looking lean and mean already here early in the season.
Yeah, it'd be great. The question is, Jensen, is it, you know, sustainable what you've seen so far from San Diego? Because I'm with you. I'm not going to tell you that I love San Diego coming into the year. I think of, like a lot of people, concerned about the San Diego Padres in terms of what version of San Diego you're going to get this year. I mean, that's, you know, when you've watched enough baseball here early on when things are going right, when things are going wrong. And everything right now is going right for the San Diego Padres because, you know, highlighted what you mentioned by the Merrill, you know, walk-off, you know, game-winning hit to score 5 runs there, come back all the way back against what is a pretty good Seattle Mariner team. Things look really good. The question is this the version that we're going to see for the entirety of the season for the San Diego Padres? And they're going to make the Los Angeles Dodgers really, really sweat in the National League West. I know it's a great start. I still got to see a little bit more from San Diego. I give them credit for the start. You can bury yourself early. You can be the Mets, but I got to see more from San Diego in order to believe in terms of what I've seen here through the first 17, 18 games is actually real.
Market shares your sentiment. Padres 12-1 to win the National League West right now. You got to lay $14 for a winner on the LA Dodgers. They are a $14 favorite right now to win the West. Crazy. There in the National League. Couple other scores of note here. It has not been a good homestand for the Philadelphia Phillies, albeit across the street last night, a lot more happier portion of the fan base as the 76ers move on in the play-in tournament. They now qualify for the playoffs into the weekend. But another pasting of the Philly pitching staff. Jesus Luzardo gave up 12 hits. 12 hits, and the Cubs never looked back. 11-2, the winner. And if you weren't talking Mets and the dismal start there, you might be focused a little bit more on what's happening with the Phillies. A minus 25 run differential. They're 5-7 at home, losers of 7 of their last 10. You can't win the division in April, but you can certainly put yourself in harm's way, and they may need some answers there in the city of brotherly love. We'll have some answers for you on the NBA play-in tournament implications now with a couple of victories yesterday and today, and we set up the final two games to clinch the final two spots tomorrow night when you come back on VSiN by the Books.